History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. As we approach America's 250th anniversary, now might be the time to go back and learn how we got here. With more than 200 episodes, you can binge your way, decade by decade, defining event to defining event, from the founding into the 20th century. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the weekend, ladies and gentlemen. Friday night, after hours here on 96.5 The Fan. Logan Weber here with you. Jacob Mustard is going to be my producer for the next 3 hours. We're with you till 9 o'clock tonight. Talking Chiefs, talking Royals, talking college basketball news. Information seems to be flooding in by the day from the NFL Combine in Indianapolis, and it's not just about the prospects that are out there on the field going through drills and running 40s and conducting themselves in the bench press. There is a lot of information coming out team by team, quarterbacks staying with teams. It's a lot going on there in Indy. So we'll talk about that, some big news out of the NBA today, and so much more. Our text line number, 913-586-7965. Feel free to send us a message on there. You have a comment, a question, a topic that you want to hear us discuss on the program here tonight. Absolutely thrilled to have you send those our way, and we'll talk about them as much as we possibly can. It doesn't even have to be sports related. I mean, last week, Quentin Morris and I spent an hour talking about We spent about an hour talking about some of the most rewatchable movies and television shows that we've ever seen. And, you know, it doesn't always have to be sports related, right? We can break the monotony and talk about something else because we all have hobbies outside of sports. But let's kick off the program with some sports related discussion. Didn't have a chance yesterday. Of course, Bink hosted the show last night, so I didn't have a chance to get into the nitty-gritty of two major storylines that came out regardless, or, you know, two of the biggest storylines in the world yesterday in sports. And that was the franchise tagging of Trey Smith, and that was the announcement that Travis Kelce will be back next year. So two huge storylines that I want to get into right off the bat. I'm sure you guys heard a lot of information about it yesterday. I know that Alex and Cody were talking about it during the midday. I know for a fact Carrington was talking about it yesterday afternoon. I sat in with him for about 30 minutes and we talked at length about the Trey Smith extension, but I didn't have an opportunity to. So now I'm going to get a chance here to sit down and talk a little bit about what I think of the Chiefs' decision to firstly franchise tag Trey Smith. And on the surface, to me, it seems like a great move. You have a chance to solidify the interior of your offensive line, and keep Joe Tooney, Creed Humphrey, and Trey Smith together for at least through next season, right? Creed and Trey Smith are going to be around for the long haul. Sorry about that. Of course, 3 minutes in and I get a coughing fit. I'm having fun, Jacob. What are you doing over there?
Oh, I'm replying. I was going to reply to the comment, but I guess you gave me some airtime. First message I see today, I refuse to listen unless Jacob Mustard is the producer, so give that a little shout out.
Yeah, that's good. Your mom's listening. That's fun.
Not in my contacts, so.
I know. I used to get jokes about it all the time. Don't you worry. My old producer down in Springfield used to, every time somebody would call in and compliment me, they would say, oh, that's nice. Your dad called in, or your mom called in, or your brother called in. Hey, man, get off my back.
Hey, they do support. That's nice.
It is nice, all right? Excuse me for having people that support my career path, man. Jeez. Anyway, getting back to this conversation about Trey Smith, unless I can force another coughing fit, which is entirely possible to kick off the show today. I've been feeling a little under the weather the last couple of days. Hasn't been great for me. That's fine. Only 3 hours of it, right? Yeah, we'll get through it eventually. Again, as I said, on the surface, this makes sense. Tooney, Creed Humphrey, Trey Smith along your offensive line. That's great. Tooney is on the final year of his deal next year. What that means for him moving forward, I think that it pretty much negates the possibility of an extension on his part for a couple of reasons. One, it just doesn't make sense. It's just not responsible financially at that point to be continuing to pour that much money, nearly $70 million into, or $50 plus million into the interior of your offensive line when you still don't have a left tackle, that's questionable, right? So keeping Creed and Trey Smith around for the long haul, that's great. I think it solidifies the fact that Tooney's gone after next year, barring a very team-friendly deal that would have him back. He's in his mid-30s at this point. I just don't think it's plausible to have another high-level, top-tier money extension come his way. But I really am not, and this is no disrespect to Trey Smith, because he's deserving of the amount of money that he's going to be getting, whether that's in Kansas City or wherever. He's a phenomenal player. But I just question where that money could have been spent elsewhere. What else you could have gotten out of that? I think you could have gotten a left tackle for that. I think you could have gotten another wide receiver for that. I think you could have tried to find an interior defensive lineman for that. I don't know. I think $23.5 million a year is a lot. Somebody in the text line just said the Chiefs only franchise tagged Smith so they can trade him. I don't see that happening. For what? Because if the Chiefs would have just let him walk in free agency, they would have got a compository third round pick. Do you honestly believe that for $23.5 million, somebody's giving up more than a third for a right guard?
On a one-year contract, too, where they would also have to deal with negotiations and, you know, mess with... I mean, it's a high risk for that much money.
I don't think that you would have gotten anything higher than a third-round value out of Trey Smith. Now, maybe the comparison is that you'll get a third-round pick in this year's draft versus a third-round pick in next year's draft as the compository pick would be. But again, either way, I don't see a third-round pick being this absolute home run that helps you this year. Then again, Trey Smith was a sixth. So I guess stranger things have happened, and it is a possibility. I just think that there's very little chance the Chiefs are using this franchise tag as a chance to trade Trey Smith. I think they're using it as an opportunity for them to negotiate an extension without having to worry about other teams in contact. Now that they have the exclusive rights, no other teams can contact him in contract negotiations, meaning he's not hearing from a bunch of different, you know, he's not hearing from the Chargers and the Broncos and the Bears and whoever else. Hey, we're going to offer, you know, we can offer you this for this, right? There's no, hey, the Chiefs offered me 5 years for 105. Oh, well, we'll give you five for 115. That's what this is about. I do not believe at all that this is a trade and tag situation. I've been wrong before. I could be wrong again. But I don't see it happening. Somebody else in the text line just said, this isn't a tag and trade situation. People need to stop saying this. Yeah, this does not feel like the L'Jarius Sneed situation to me at all. I think we all had a pretty clear idea that we were going to trade L'Jarius Sneed last offseason. I don't get that feeling this time around. And there's a lot of people that don't have that feeling either. I think maybe it's just recency bias from having the L'Jarius Sneed trade occur a year ago, that's why people are thinking about it in this manner. I just don't think there's any way. I think that they're going to come to the table. I think they're going to negotiate. Right now, it's the $23.5 million, but that's the franchise tag, right? The extension, they can divvy some of that money out to where maybe he'll make 20 or 21 this year. And then by the time he gets to year five of the contract, maybe it is $25, $26 million. And that money's going to be a lot more fluid, right? Maybe you have an opportunity when it gets to that point, you can cut him, right? Somebody just said they need to quit saying that he's going to make $23 million against the cap this year. No. Yeah, I agree with you. So he later said there's no way that the Chiefs keep him on that contract. I don't think there's any way whatsoever. All of this was a way to extend it out further. I just question if that money could have been better spent elsewhere. Now, I mean, you're paying him, you know, as of now, it's $23.5 million. It may not stay that way, but when you're paying Juwan Smith 23.5 doesn't seem like that outrageous a number to give Trey Smith. I don't know. I think, secondly, what the Juwan Taylor, or excuse me, what the Trey Smith franchise tag and the likely extension that will follow here in the next week or two means, Nick Bolton's not a Chief next year. I have a hard time justifying what he may get, right? Even if it's even if it's 2 years for 22, right? Or it's 3 years for 34, whatever it might be, you're not going to get that out of Kansas City. Nick Bolton is not going to get $10 million plus a year out of the Kansas City Chiefs. I was talking to Carrington about this yesterday. I'm not sure there is an actual, like, real deal linebacker that has earned $10 million or more a year since Andy Reid arrived in Kansas City. Right, Tamba Hali, Justin Houston. Yes, they were quote-unquote linebackers, but they were linebackers in the same way T.J. Watt is a linebacker. They were edge rushers in a 3-4 concept that Sutton ran prior to Steve Spagnuolo's arrival. So for a, you know, true-to-form linebacker filling gaps and sitting down in pass coverage in a zone or going man-to-man with a tight end or a running back, the Chiefs have not paid linebackers of that type since Andy Reid got to Kansas City. It's just not their philosophy. That could potentially be the market of Nick Bolton. Maybe it isn't. But, I mean, the name Patrick Queen and the deal he got a few seasons ago has been thrown around in regards to Nick Bolton. As sure a tackler as he is and as smart a football player as he is, somebody out there may want to pay him that amount of money. No question.
A comment pointed this out for us, and I just did a quick fact check. The Chiefs placed a non-exclusive franchise tag on
Okay,
him.
So not an exclusive tag. So other teams can still negotiate with him, but the Chiefs still would have the final say.
One way or the other. It's like in the NBA when you have a restricted free agent. Like, at the end of the day, they can negotiate basically their market value, and then if they sign a contract to leave the team and you're like, nope, I want them, we'll take them for that value, and they sign them right back.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. For some reason, I was under the impression that it was the exclusive tag. So the non-exclusive franchise tag, and somebody in the text line just pointed this out, a 785, and I'll give you the credit for this. It means that he can negotiate with other teams. He can come to, right, the original team has the opportunity to match any offer that a team gives him.
Correct.
If the Chiefs decide that they do not want to match that, they will get 2 first-round picks out of it. So that's different. So maybe you're absolutely right. I think that makes the tag and trade even less likely than we saw prior. There's no chance, 0% chance it's a trade and tag now.
That's basically what their trade was, hey, we'll sign you. Because I was looking up the expected market value, and they were saying, you know, Trey Smith was expected about 19 mil per year if he, or 19 and a half, which is along the lines of Quentin Nelson and a couple other of the premier guards in the NFL. So you're kind of overpaying him for maybe they're hoping another team is like, yeah, we'll give up 2 first round picks to sign him. But it kind of pigeonholes Trey Smith to be like, oh, well, this is my only team that I can really, because no team's going to pay up those 2 first rounders. Now I just work basically trying to make sure that Trey Smith is negotiating with the Chiefs for a long term deal.
Right. These would be compensatory picks, meaning I don't believe that the team that signs him would have to give up their own picks. They would be comp picks that are added on to the end of round one. So theoretically, the Chiefs, if Trey Smith were to sign somewhere else this offseason, Trey Smith would then, that year, next year in 2026, they will get the 33rd overall pick, right? The last pick of the first round by all intents and purposes. And then the first pick of the second round would be number 34, right? Technically speaking, I don't know how many guys, I'm going to look this up during the break and see how many players have been put on the non-exclusive franchise tag who have signed elsewhere. I would be curious to see who's the last big name guy to have done that. That would be very interesting. Again, 913-586-7965. We've got a lot more messages here in the text line that I want to read off when we come back. I also want to get into, you know, what this could mean for other positions on the field for the Chiefs coming up in the draft and throughout free agency, as well as what T. Kelce coming back means for the Chiefs next year. You're listening to After Hours here on 96.5 The Fan. Logan Weber and Jacob Mustard here on your home for Kansas City sports.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.
After Hours here on 96.5 The Fan. Logan Weber here with you. Jacob Mustard alongside, pushing the buttons, running the music on tonight's program as our producer until 9 o'clock. Our number, 913-586-7965. And a lot of conversation right now about the Trey Smith franchise tag from yesterday, what the immediate future of that tag means, and what it could mean moving forward. We were talking about, and I admittedly was incorrect. I thought that they had put him on the exclusive franchise tag, which is more often than not the use that we see. This was a non-exclusive franchise tag, meaning that he can still go negotiate with other teams. Other teams can put in offer sheets. And if the Chiefs decide that they do not want to match that offer, Trey Smith would be allowed to leave Kansas City, go to that team. But the Chiefs would receive two compensatory second-round picks. Two compensatory second round picks at the end of round one, probably of next year's draft in 26, and then potentially another one in 2027. I don't know the exact numbers behind that, but I find it interesting. And we were asking, when was the last time that somebody put on the non-exclusive franchise tag actually was signed by another team? And somebody in the text line said, I believe the answer you're looking for is zero. I don't think it's ever happened. I got into the nitty gritty of it when we were in the break, and we found several examples of players who were put on the non-exclusive tag, but did remain with their teams because nobody's even like nowadays teams don't even put in offer sheets for players on the non-exclusive tag, meaning that the team is fairly confident that that player will be remaining with their roster. But I did find the most recent example of it actually happening. So the last time that a player was put on a non-exclusive franchise tag by his organization was given an offer by a different NFL team, and the original team refused to match it. The year 2000, the Seattle Seahawks put Joey Galloway on the non-exclusive tag. The Cowboys then offered Joey Galloway an offer sheet. The Seahawks refused to match that offer sheet. So Joey Galloway was allowed to walk and go to Dallas, and the Seattle Seahawks received then two compensatory first-round picks out of the deal. So it's been 25 years since it happened. 25 years. History tells us that it's very, very unlikely that Trey Smith ends up elsewhere. Not saying it's impossible, I'm just saying that it is highly unlikely at this point.
And I mean, you mentioned something, it was like, we were kind of talking about, I mean, the whole stipulation behind nobody likes the Chiefs. So we were also talking about how no other team is, and maybe the Buffalo Bills might do it, but no other team is going to give the Chiefs, willingly give the Chiefs a first two first round picks.
No shot. I don't see it. Right. I mean, the NFL has looked on for years with disdain of how good the Chiefs have been. And every time the Chiefs have made a deal or done a deal, it has always seemed to work out in the Chiefs' favor. I don't know the last time the Chiefs conducted a trade and lost that trade. I have a hard time figuring it out. Maybe this Kingsley Suamataia thing from this past offseason, but it's way too early. The jury is far too far out for that to be decided upon right now.
Matt Cassel.
Yeah, you're probably right. Matt Cassel. But again, like That's a that's
it wasn't
a
too
bygone,
bad, and it was forever ago.
That was a bygone era of Chiefs football. We don't, you know, sort of like that line from Coco. We don't talk about Bruno or Encanto. That's what this is, right? We don't talk about the Todd Haley years. We don't talk about the Romeo Crennel years. We are in a different spot. Somebody said, I'd like to know what Seattle got with those picks. We can look it up. We can see what Seattle may have what the compensatory picks awarded them after that deal with Joey Galloway. Again, 913-586-7965 is our number. Someone said, I think it's a very valid concern for an interior guy. I don't completely disagree with you, but if you're right and Tooney is gone after 2025, and so will Taylor, that's $40 million off the books, so Trey's numbers won't seem so bad in 2026 and beyond. You raise a good point. Tooney is, you know, he's under contract through next season. I think with Trey Smith now being here for the presumed long haul, if they do get him to a long-term extension, I don't think there's any way you extend Tooney. So he's gone. I think it is very, very likely that the Chiefs, I mean, nearly 100%. Barring Jawan Taylor morphing into an all-pro right tackle who doesn't give up a single sack next year, which would be great. I mean, we should all hope for that. It's not going to happen, but we can hope. Barring that scene, Jawan Taylor will get cut next offseason. They can't cut him this offseason because the dead cap hit would be astronomical for this Chiefs team, and they wouldn't benefit from it at all. So you're right. I mean, if those two guys are gone after next year, that's roughly $40 million in cap that you're getting rid of. Trey Smith around for the long haul. That's fine. Pair him alongside Creed Humphrey. Those guys are great friends. I get it. What I believe this means for the Kansas City Chiefs, a running back is not optional at this point. A day one starter at running back, a three-down guy, is no longer a maybe in this year's draft coming up in April. You have to get a running back. And I know there's going to be those people out there who, you know, oh, well, what about Isaiah Pacheco? You know, I know he was banged up this past offseason, but I think he's got it. I mean, folks, let's face it, to some extent, Isaiah Pacheco was a seventh-round pick for a reason. I'm not trying to disparage Isaiah Pacheco. I love him as a football player. I love the energy he brings. I love how damn hard that guy plays football. Applaud him to the ends of the earth for that. But I don't think he's an every-down back in this league. And when you look at the Kansas City Chiefs and the makeup of this roster and the makeup of this offensive line now, if by extending Trey Smith, or by putting Trey Smith on the franchise tag means that he's going to sign a long-term extension, look at the interior of your offensive line. Joe Tooney, Creed Humphrey, Trey Smith. That's where your money on your offensive line is buried right now in those three guys, plus the $20 million a year that you're giving Jawan Taylor. If the strength of your offensive line is the interior, you need somebody who is a tough runner in between the tackles. I don't think Isaiah Pacheco is an incredibly reliable between the tackles runner. He is an outside zone back. He is great in space. He's great one-on-one with a DB. He's great in being able to make a linebacker miss in space, right? That's when he's at his best. When you get him outside the tackles in space, that's what you're looking towards. I don't think he's a good enough runner for dives and inside zones and RPOs and things of that magnitude, things of that nature. You need somebody like that. And there are options in this draft class. This is an incredibly deep draft. Now, I know that there's folks out there that are saying, oh, you know, okay, Devin Neal, Cam Scataboo. I don't think those guys are those types of backs either. They're more outside zone space and awareness backs, third down backs, receiving backs, those sorts of things. That's not what the Chiefs need. The Chiefs need somebody who on first and second down and on third and short situations, even fourth and short situations, you can hand the football to and say, go get us two, go get us a yard, go get us 3 yards here on this third and three. That's what you need. Because I think that can take pressure off of whoever your tackles are coming up this season. Jawan Taylor and then whoever is the left tackle, whether it's DJ Humphreys, which I think is becoming more likely by the day, whether it is Wanye Morris, who I believe is a swing tackle and should not be an every week starter in the NFL, at least not at this point in his career, or whether it's Kingsley Suamataia, who I believe could be an outstanding guard in the NFL. I don't think he is a tackle, and I certainly don't think he's a left tackle. By running the football and running it effectively, it allows you to dictate to the defense how they scheme you. If you've got a guy in the backfield who is a danger between the tackles, who is a road grader, a guy that can generate 1,100, 1,200, 1,300 yards in a season and 12 to 14 touchdowns, that's the kind of guy that linebackers are going to have to key in on the run. Edge rushers can't just try to slip past and pass rush against your tackles for four quarters. They're going to have to get hands on, and they are going to have to diagnose, read, and react to what the offense is doing. I don't feel like the Chiefs are forcing opposing defenses to do that all that much. Someone said Devin Neal runs up the middle all the time. At the college level, yes. But I don't think he can do it play in, play out at the NFL level. I just don't. I'm sorry. I'm not a Kansas hater. I'm not a Mizzou fan. I'm not a K-State fan. I have no dog in that fight. I'm not saying this because I don't like Kansas. So, you know, if this was Carrington saying it, I could understand why some people would be like, oh, he's just a KU hater. I'm not. I'm an Iowa fan. I have no real feelings toward Kansas other than my brother is a fan. So honestly, I actively root for them sometimes because I just, you know, want something good to happen for my younger brother. Devin Neal is not an every down back in the NFL. Not in my view, anyway. I look at, obviously, Ashton Jeanty, who you're not going to get. I don't see it. I would be shocked if the Chiefs traded up to get a guy like Ashton Jeanty. That would be mind-boggling. But maybe a back like an Amarion Hampton out of North Carolina. And I know, everybody's going to say I'm biased. Turn on some tape and watch Caleb Johnson out of the University of Iowa. That is an every-down back in the NFL. I honestly believe that. And yes, it's probably complete and utter bias on my part, similar to, you know, possibly whoever just texted in and said Devin Neal runs up the middle all the time. I could be just as wrong about Caleb Johnson being an every down back as me saying Devin Neal is not. So, stranger, you know, I don't claim to be this Nostradamus who sees and knows all by any stretch of the imagination. 913-586-7965 is our number. Somebody asked, 913 said, what are your thoughts that the Chiefs started making calls and trying to determine a contract value for one of the top free agent left tackles like Ronnie Stanley or Alaric Jackson, and those players are more interested in re-signing with their current teams? Could the Trey Smith move be a byproduct of that, given it's several days after the tag window opened? I mean, maybe. I think that there's some smoke to that. Absolutely. Look at the deal that Alaric Jackson just signed with the Rams earlier today, right? He's going back to LA, 3 years, $57 million. Yeah, 3 years, $57 million with 37 guaranteed. The Chiefs were not going to give Alaric Jackson $20 million a year or $19 million a year in this case. So if he is left tackle three, left tackle four in this free agent market, what is Ronnie Stanley going to make? What is Cam Robinson going to make? What could Jedrick Wills make in this draft, in this free agent market? Between the tagging of Trey Smith and the deal for Alaric Jackson, that tells me that free agency is almost a non-starter for the Chiefs to get a left tackle. They don't have the money. They didn't have the money initially when I thought that Alaric Jackson might be somewhere in the vein of $14 to $16 million. But to get $19 million a year, to get over 60% of your contract fully guaranteed, no chance that the Chiefs go after a free agent left tackle at this point, outside of maybe bringing a guy like DJ Humphries back. Just no chance. So, yeah, I think that there's something to the fact that the Chiefs, you know, may have seen what Alaric Jackson's negotiating price was with the Rams. They may have heard about, okay, well, if he's making that, what could Ronnie Stanley make? He might get four for 85 from the Ravens. and they thought, okay, we kind of got to attack what we have. We know what Trey Smith brings to the table. We know he has a great understanding of the offense. We know what he can bring to this team week in and week out. Let's just knot this guy up for the long haul. Understandable. Yes. So I absolutely do believe that there is something to what you were just saying. Another person says, Matt Cassel was trash, but not until he led the Chiefs to a 10-6 season before having his appendix removed and playing 7 days later. Matt Cassel did some good things in Kansas City. I mean, he did some good things. Did he warrant the amount of acclaim that he got coming from the New England Patriots? Probably not. Probably didn't help that he had Todd Haley as his head coach running the show. I'm sure that did not aid matters in the slightest. He probably gets a little bit too much hate from Chiefs fans for what happened during his tenure, but you got to win, and he didn't win enough in a lot of people's eyes.
The expected market value for for Ronnie Stanley is about same as what you'd be paying for Tristan Wirfs. So I don't know if you want to pay that for that old of a player.
To pay Ronnie Stanley the same amount that Tristan Wirfs is making is criminal. Criminal. Yeah. That guy is the first tackle ever to be a first-team All-Pro at right tackle and at left tackle. Like, he is the best tackle in football. To pay Ronnie Stanley that price is egregious by all intents and purposes.
Oh, yeah. I had to do some digging to answer your question about the last time that the Chiefs lost a trade. And you can tell me if you would say these are losses. The only ones I could find, and, you know, part of it's draft-based, they traded a second-round pick to the Patriots, which ended up being Patrick Chung for Matt Cassel, Mike Vrabel. kind of a wash, but, I mean, you know, that's what you get with these picks. The other one I saw was they gave up the pick that turned into Jesse Bates and Malik Jefferson for Breland Speaks and Dorian O'Donnell. No clue who those
two were.
Repeat
that one for me again.
That last one was Jesse Bates and Malik Jefferson for Breland Speaks and Dorian O'Daniel.
Ow. Yeah, that one hurts. That's an L by all intents and purposes.
And then you have to go way back to Jared Allen being traded for... You got Jamal Charles, so that's the bright spot. DeJuan Morgan, Kevin Robinson, and I'm going to butcher this, Goster Shirelis?
Yeah, nothing.
Names I've butchered, but that's how far back you have to look.
Okay. And when was the most recent of those? Because I would say, yes, those are all losses for the Chiefs in terms of trades. When was the most recent one of that group?
The most recent one was the Jesse Bates. That was in 2018.
Okay. So, I mean, 7 years ago since the last time you had a true-to-form loss in terms of a trade. That's pretty good luck as of late. Or maybe not luck, but pretty good formatting for your trades as of late. Got a lot more messages here in the text line that I want to read on the...
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free, so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Other side here, 913-586-7965. Stick around. You're listening to After Hours. Logan Weber and Jacob Mustard right here on 96.5 The Fan. Talking where the Chiefs go from here after the decision to put the non-exclusive franchise tag on Trey Smith and what it could mean. And what I was saying earlier was that it means the Chiefs need to go after a running back. We were also talking about some of the Chiefs' most recent trades, and, you know, it doesn't seem like they've lost all that many trades since Andy Reid and Brett Veach arrived in Kansas City. We read off some of the ones, you know, some of the more high-profile ones earlier, but there was one that you just found there, Jacob, that I find wildly interesting. So why don't you read that for our listeners here?
So back in April 28th, 2018, they traded a 2018 seventh round pick, number 233rd overall, to the Patriots. The Patriots then used that pick to trade up to spot 250 with none other than the Eagles, who ended up using that seventh round pick to draft Jordan Mailata.
Yikes. I mean, that one hit multiple hands right along the way. So, I mean, I don't know how much it's the Chiefs' initial pick, but it gets traded to the Patriots and then give it to the Eagles. So, like, how much of that trade loss goes to the Chiefs versus the Patriots? I feel like it's divvied up a little bit there, but I feel like you and I both, Jacob, can agree. We lost that trade. I am a Chiefs fan. You're a Patriots fan. The Eagles got the best end of that bargain.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, he was a project player coming out. I mean, a rugby star transition to tackle. We'd never seen it successful before.
Yeah. And he's not from Australia. I believe he's from New Zealand, correct? Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just one where, you know, the Eagles took a risk on him. And why not when you have Jeff Stoutland, right? And that's their offensive line coordinator and known as one of the best offensive line developers. So stick him in a room with him and see if he can turn into something great, which he did.
I take it back. Jordan Mailata is from Australia. I don't know why I thought he might have been from New Zealand, but
I thought so.
Yeah, he's born in New South Wales and went to Condell Park High School in New South Wales. So yeah, he is Australian through and through. We were talking about the NFL draft, and I had mentioned, and I am completely and utterly biased because I am an Iowa fan, but I had mentioned I would love to see Caleb Johnson end up in a Chiefs uniform. I think he can be a three down back as a starter in this league. And apparently I'm not alone. A 785 said, yes, Johnson is a bell cow. An 816 says, I like loose meat sandwiches and Fong's Crab Rangoon pizza. I'm an Iowa fan. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah. I like that. Loose meat sandwiches. You lost a lot of people on the loose meat sandwiches thing for sure. I didn't grow up in Iowa, but I'm very well aware of what you're talking about. Some Made Right? Huh? Some Made Right sandwiches? Got any idea what I'm talking about over there, Jacob? You lost?
I do not, and I'm looking up the draft report of Jordan Mailata just to see how wrong everybody was. Yeah. They gave him 5.50 priority undrafted free agent grade.
Swing and a miss. Another 816 said Caleb Johnson is a stud. Ali Gordon would be amazing. And I know that the Chiefs have expressed interest in Ali Gordon. That would be a fascinating one. I mean, Ali Gordon coming into the year was considered possibly the best back in college football. But I think he, along with most of the Oklahoma State Cowboys football team this year, had a little bit of a disappointing season. So I think that things have cooled on him a little bit. Why not take a chance? I don't know what his draft grade points to. I don't know what his projected slot in this year's draft is. If he's a guy that you can land in the third or the fourth, why not? I mean, it is an incredibly deep draft class. And for a guy who many were considering the best draft running back in the draft coming into the year, I haven't seen him in a top 10 some places. I mean, he has really fallen off. So if you can land him late, I don't see why not. Late on day two, maybe early day three, I think it'd be fantastic. 913 says Matt Castle was a Pro Bowler 1 year in Kansas City. I know. And that was like the extent of it, right? He had like 1 year where he threw for 27 touchdowns and like seven picks, and he was great, and he was a finalist for Comeback Player of the Year. But he was like 19-28 as a starter for the Kansas City Chiefs. In his last year as a starter, he went like 1-7 as the Chiefs starter. He didn't win enough. It's just a simple fact of the matter. 913, we'll read some more here when we come back. 913 said, I personally think that Jackson would have been worth that contract. I agree with you. To your point, Logan, I would have much rather had that contract on the books than Trey, and I love Trey. It's just a position of greater importance, in my view. You need a left tackle more than you need a right guard. And I know what Trey Smith brings, and I know that Trey Smith as a right guard is probably a better player than Alaric Jackson is at left tackle. But how often is Trey Smith lined up one-on-one with an elite edge rusher, or an elite pass rusher, for that matter? Not very often. Edge rushers are the name of the game in the NFL now, and you have to combat that with tremendous edge protectors. And the Chiefs do not have tremendous edge protectors right now. Alaric Jackson or a Cam Robinson would be an obvious and marked improvement at what you have currently at the left tackle position. Now, maybe they're more confident in DJ Humphries or Wanye Morris or Kingsley Suamataia than they're letting on. I'm just surprised that that would be the case and why everybody else is being kept so much in the dark over this. I don't know. Maybe it's that we wouldn't really believe it even if they said it. I'm not quite certain. 913-586-7965. We'll take a break, come back, and wrap up hour number one here. We're with you till 9 o'clock tonight on After Hours. Logan Weber alongside Jacob Mustard on 96.5 The Fan. After Hours here on 96.5 The Fan. Logan Weber alongside my producer for tonight, Jacob Mustard. Talking running backs in this draft, because I am of the opinion if the move for Trey Smith to put him on the non-exclusive franchise tag means that a long-term extension is coming, you need an every down running back, somebody that you are confident can run between the tackles and churn out yards, a bell cow, a road grader, however you want to describe it. And we were talking about, me admittedly as an Iowa fan, I think Caleb Johnson would be a phenomenal fit. And there are some people who have agreed with me. 913 said, I'd love to grab Caleb at pick 63 or 66. I'm with you. I think he might be available late round two, early round three. Absolutely. It's an interesting one. We were talking about some of the worst deals or trades the Chiefs have had in recent memory. And there haven't been that many bad ones by all intents and purposes. Somebody mentioned the Sammy Watkins deal. I believe Sammy Watkins was a free agent signing rather than a trade. But in terms of the deal itself, he says, I think he was overpaid for the production he gave you. Yes. But for the wins and losses that came that way. No. I mean, what he did against Richard Sherman in that Super Bowl, I think made it very worth it. What he did during that playoff run made it worth it in a lot of respects. One of the most iconic moments in the history of Arrowhead was that matchup. It's going to bother the hell out of me. Somebody remind me in the text line, 913-586-7965. I can't remember for the life of me if it was against the Texans or the Titans, where he ran a deep post and he was wide open in the middle of the field. And the fans in Arrowhead, all like in unison, started screaming, Sammy. And it just started reverberating throughout the stadium. And then Pat, you know, you see Pat drop back to pass, heaves it deep. Sammy catches it. The entire crowd erupts, scores a touchdown. During the midst of one of those comeback wins, again, it was either the Titans or the Texans, but I cannot remember for the life of me who it was. Someone says DJ Giddens would be perfect. I can't say that I'm very familiar with who DJ Giddens is. He play at, I think he's a K-State guy. I think, yeah, K-State makes sense. Yes, yeah, played at K-State. Yes, I mean, 6'1", 212, that's pretty good size, right? There's a lot of length there, so he could even put on weight if you decided to. He's got a couple years of productivity. He wasn't tremendously effective in goal line situations. I mean, he only had seven rushing touchdowns this past year. He's a little bit more experienced than maybe. He's a little bit more experienced than maybe Devin Neal, or excuse me, Caleb Johnson as a receiving back. I mean, 50 combined receptions in the last 2 years at K-State. Not sure what his draft value sits at, but could be interesting. Somebody said it was the Tennessee Titans game. Pretty sure it was the Titans game. It was iconic. A couple of other people said Titans or Tennessee game. Appreciate the backup, folks. Can you talk to what left tackles we should go get this year? In terms of the draft, absolutely. We can do that here. When we come back, we'll get into that here as we kick off hour number two. Still a lot to get to. Man, I come in here every day with this big show sheet of stuff that I want to talk about. And the first one I had was franchise tag on Trey Smith. Number two, Kelce is back for next season. What is likely his last run? We never even got to number two on the list. That is how in the weeds we have gotten here in hour number one. And guess what? We'll continue coming up here in hour number two. After hours here on 96.5 The Fan, Logan Weber alongside Jacob Mustard. We're with you till 9 o'clock, so stick around. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.